listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Hugh O'Connor, 7620 KD Freeway. A big thank you, as always, to our presenting sponsor. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. He loves the sport of soccer. I was over in England at a Manchester United game, and it was pretty funny because John was over there watching Chelsea play. And he was in a suite with a legendary Chelsea player named Chopper Harris, Ron Harris. So, it's a long story short, but I had him say something to Chopper Harris, and it didn't go over too well with John Daspit. But John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, car, boat, motorcycle accident. If you get in one, you're going to need return. Argentina has scored. Messi, get us into the final here. It is already 1-0 here in, I think, the seventh minute over Colombia. So big thank you to those who clapped out there and got my head up to look at the monitor. Let's go, Messi. I'm pulling for Lionel Messi. I'm sorry. I just want to see this guy put an end to this thing and win the Copa America. So it's 1-0 Argentina. We'll get a goal scorer in a second. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT, presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And again, we're out at Hugh O'Connor's. If you're out and about on the town, we're about to give out in the next segment tickets, T-shirts, soccer balls. We're going to pick out three or four winners here in the very next break. So if you have an opportunity to get in here now. All right, Jan, give us an update on Denmark ahead of England tomorrow. This is the place to watch it here at Hugh O'Connor's.
Yes, you know, a nervous breakdown I'm having here. I probably won't sleep tonight, you know. But, you know, you all know the slogan, we are red, we are white, we are Danish dynamite. So we are going to go all for it tomorrow. We have no injuries. Everybody's except for, of course, Christian Eriksen. But in our history with England the last year, we tied them 0-0 in Copenhagen in the Nations Cup, and we beat them 1-0 at Wembley by a goal by Christian Eriksen, by the way. So we have no fear, and I believe that our players are in many ways on just below the English as stars. But as a team, I think we're fully up there with the British team. And we have, of course, two Premier League players in the defense, Anders Christensen and Vestergaard. And then we have Simon Kjær, who's a star at AC Milan.
Yep.
So our back three and the goalie, Kasper Schmeichel, as you all know, and as Glenn mentioned, he said, I don't buy that. If it's coming home, it's coming home to Denmark because we won it in 92. So coming home to England.
That's true. They dragged those guys off the beach that year.
Yeah, that's right.
They dragged those guys off the beach because of the war in Yugoslavia. And they were all on vacation. They come back and they actually win the Euros. This is one of the great stories ever in the history of the Euros. That's 92, right?
Yeah, and that's called playing with no pressure.
Playing with no pressure.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they may have a little bit more tomorrow.
Exactly, yeah. But at Kasper Schmeichel and the back four, if you look at Ukraine's back four, and we look at the play without a center half in the second half, I think, England is going to be up for a much more difficult game.
Kjær, Christensen, big, strong boys.
Yeah.
You got Mael working up the left side, has become a big star.
Yeah.
Delaney in midfield has been impressive. And then Dolzberg and Brathwaite, a couple of the guys.
Højbjerg from Tottenham, you know. He's been one of the best players.
Yes.
And, of course, we have a young stud coming up named Damsgaard that is going to be a great. He's only 21 years old and a star at Sampdoria, Italy. So we got the meat, but can we take the heat?
There you go.
Know, because 55,000, you said, with 5,000 Danish fans, and everybody have to be living in England to get a ticket, you know. So, but we have a very smart coach, and I sincerely believe that at least we will take it to overtime.
This will be a good game tomorrow. Jan,
thank you for having me,
Glenn. Because I got to get to Jesus and Victor.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. And
we thank you for your support of the radio show.
Yeah.
Nothing like the great Dane. He's Jan Christensen. Give him a round of applause, you guys.
Thanks.
He brought the Christian Eriksen jersey all the way back from Denmark. Unsolicited. Nobody asked him to do it. This is the kind of guy he is. And by the way, if you like modern contemporary furniture like I do, and my house is furnished by Jan's company, he's got some great stuff. He's over on Fondren. So it's Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. All right, from the Bayou Cityan, he's Jesus Acevedo. formerly with Soccer Matters. Now he's going on to bigger, better things with The Striker. He bailed on me. He's Victor Ariza. So what we have here are two guys that do a lot of covering of the Houston Dynamo. And this was important for me to bring on young guys that are covering the team, doing a great job of it. So I appreciate both of you guys coming in tonight. Jesus, Victor, welcome.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thanks always for the invitation. Always good coming home. This is a real coming home, not like England, right?
There we go, Victor.
I might get kicked out of this bar.
Victor's politically correct, too. He's very good at that. And we offended him because we said he had a Chivas shirt on the jersey when he came in. All right, biggest thoughts out of the Euros for both of you guys. We're going to do some Dynamo talk. The next segment will go all Dynamo, but right now let's do a little bit of Euros and Copa America talk. Start it off, Victor.
Yeah, I think I know a lot of people will point to France as the biggest disappointment, but I think Belgium. I mean, this generation of players, I mean, you had a golden chance, too, after France got eliminated to not do anything big. I mean, you're obviously setting the pressure even further going into the World Cup next year. But I think there's a lot of good storylines going into the World Cup next year because of the Euro. The biggest thing to me, obviously, Italy. I mean, they're the old guard that's never goes away. I mean, new generation, but they just keep coming back, right? I mean, it's hard workers, and I mean, and especially I think for me, these are two of the biggest countries today, right? Getting hit hard by COVID, Spain and Italy facing off for a chance at the final, and I think
you had to weave COVID in there. I'm trying to get beyond the COVID and the pandemic. You had to weave COVID.
Well, it's part of the story, right? I mean,
it is
heroes.
The 2020
Euros. Part of the story in South America because they're playing in empty stadiums. Yeah. But yeah, it is part of the story. But, you know, I think what always fascinates me, Jesus, is that these great soccer-playing nations, and Victor, you mentioned France is eliminated, and Victor writes for The Striker, Jesus, with the Bayou Citizen. They come back, and honestly, I think this is the best thing that could have ever happened to France ahead of a World Cup, was to get eliminated in the way they did. I felt there was a bit of a swagger. You did find out in the press there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, wives of players not getting along. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And the Germans, you know, are going to come back. I mean, they're going to do a top-to-bottom breakdown of their entire program, and they're going to come back because they're great soccer-playing nations. Jesus.
You know, Victor, maybe I should have gone for it because he took two of my talking points, which is Italy and...
But great writers steal, right?
You could talk about Mancini.
Now, I will say, you know, to me, Denmark has to be one of the stories here. I mean, you just talked to Jan, but, you know, ever since that accident happened with, you know, Ericsson, I've been pulling for them. And you can tell them playing inspired ball, you know. And I think if they make it to the final, it's theirs for the taking. But it's they're one of the stories. But yeah, Italy to me, once I see them play, I feel like they're the Italy that I grew up watching. It's not I don't want to say ugly soccer, but they're gonna defend and they're organized. And then when they strike with precision. I mean, just look at today's game. They had 37% possession, and that one opportunity with precision, they struck it. So to me,
I will say today was very different than the way they played throughout the tournament, and I think that's based on the opponent. I mean, Spain's as good as anybody at holding the ball and maintaining possession, and I think they had to kind of revert back to some of their, you know, older kind of lower block defending stuff. And you're right, they hit with precision, but they've been very different and aggressive in this tournament with Immobile, Insigne, Chiesa coming off the bench at times, and starting. Jorginho, Barella, Verratti, and a lot of these guys were together in the Serie C, which is an amazing story with Zdenek Zeman, who was once the coach of Roma. So I think it's a different Italy. It's a more progressive, exciting one with Mancini.
I think it goes back to what you're saying. Italy came back. You know, they were struggling in the past couple of tournaments, and it goes to your point. These big teams, they just come back. You know, Germany's going to come back. France is going to come back. Belgium's going back. Now, Belgium is the one I kind of – think about, because this is their golden generation. So at what point does it stop being the golden generation? You know, because they're getting older.
Yeah. So that's a good line. At what point does it stop being the golden generation? I like that.
Yeah, I do think, like you mentioned, for Italy, if they were to win, it's a big win for the domestic league, right? The Serie A, how they've fallen, you know, from glory in a way over the years. Now, you know, this would be a great comeback for the league itself, too.
I like
England's a great story. Mancini's a great story. And then, like you mentioned quickly, Copa America. I mean, still to be played, but I think we're all waiting for that Brazil-Argentina final.
Italy hit dark times with all the corruption. And, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes soccer is like, you know, religion and charities. You know, they're great fronts for a lot of things. I mean, it's kind of sad, you know, because these are safe havens that supposedly are for us, you know, to enjoy and to learn from, and it's what happens. I mean, that corruption scandal in Italy, let's hope this is a projection to get them continuing to get out of there, and I think more people are investing in Italy. All right, we're going to take a break. This is Rival Sons taking us to break. We're going to come back. We're going to begin. We're going to put on our MLS hats. We're going to break down Dynamo Seattle. We'll get some thoughts on the last game. We're going heavy on Dynamo. I'm going to really ratchet it up tempo-wise. So stay with us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. This is from Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. Come on in right now. Get a few beverages. Get some good food here. We got the Copa America with Argentina with a 1-0 lead over Colombia. And Victor's already called it. He wants that Brazil-Argentina final badly. All right, we'll take a break. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Yes, I am. Oh,
I'm electric. ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Hugh O'Connor's here, 7620 Katy Freeway. Gerardo, Josh, Prashil, and Andrew, all winners here during our break. Tickets, soccer balls, we got more to give away. We're going to give a couple more things away before the night's over. Again, this is Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, official home of the Euros. By the way, Sunday we have a big watch party here. Hoping you guys will show up, Victor and Jesus. Big watch party here. And by the way, tomorrow you can watch England and Denmark here in the afternoon. And I'm sure this place is going to be really crowded and really, really fun tomorrow. Right, Goose? Don't you love it, Goose? Yeah, Dave is going to be up for it tomorrow as well. Dave never wants to come on. I told him we got to use the Irish accent. It'll bring more people in the building. So we welcome you back, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, we're going to switch gears here. On the Dynamo 1-1 draw at home. It's four straight draws, so we can be really optimistic and say, hey, we've not lost in four games, and we haven't lost at home, but we haven't won a game since May 22nd. And again, this was a winnable game for Tab Ramos and the Houston Dynamo. Your thoughts first, Victor.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to sound like the downer because you didn't win at home when you should have against teams, not just Cincinnati, but the previous game at home against Portland. The good thing is you've been going on the road. You've been getting those points. So I do think there's a missing, you know, for as much as maybe Tab doesn't say that the team hasn't forgotten how to win, I do think they're missing something to take them to the next level. I think they're missing a player in midfield or in attack, somebody with a lot of experience, dependable, a good transfer in, right? Like what Columbus has with Larrayan, or even Cincinnati with Luciano Acosta, somebody of that caliber to take them. To make them a contender. We'll see if that ever happens, with this new regime. But, I mean, that's just the way I see it.
Okay, so that was 1-1. It was a great crowd, great atmosphere out of BBVA for that game. Dynamo came out in the third minute and scored a fantastic goal. Three passes all the way up the field. Tyler Pascher lashed it in with his left foot. Dynamo concede 2 minutes later, and Sam Junka, and if you go back and actually look at the goal, Jeff Cameron's really deep in his own half of the field, the former Dynamo, who had a great game, by the way, and hits a very direct straight ball that beats and penetrates the Dynamo midfield, and it goes into Brenner, the guy who was transferred to them for $15 million. He lets it go. He doesn't touch it. But that passing lane wasn't cut out, and that's because Sam Junka, who did have a good game, both Sam Junka and Fafapiko were pulled a little bit too far to the sideline and did not cut that passing lane off. You forget about the guy who's out by the sideline. You have to protect things central, and I think we didn't really hear too many people bringing that point up, but that was a real key there. So it ends in a 1-1 draw. The Dynamo had the better of the possession, the better of the chances. So now it's on to Seattle. Both of these teams are depleted, Jesus. What are your thoughts on the Dynamo going into Seattle? That game, by the way, tomorrow night's on Channel 55. You can catch it. Eddie Robinson will have the and I will have the call.
It's definitely going to be a tough one for Dynamo. You know, Seattle haven't lost a game yet this season. They haven't incepted to win because there hasn't been an MLS team that has played 14 games in a season and lost. So I'm pretty sure they would like to be that first team. I believe the only player they're really missing truly that helps them is Christian Roldan, which is a pretty big name to miss. But when you compare that to what the Dynamo will be missing, granted, they got Darwin Serén back for the game, but you're still going to be missing Ty Pasher. And, you know, we have to be honest, Pasher has been one of the ones that has created a lot of offense for the Dynamo, created chances, created opportunities, created havoc on the opposing team. Yeah. So not having him there, the players that they're going to use in his place, we don't know much about them. You know, we haven't seen much of them. So it's not going to be pretty. On the contrary side, you know, we've seen this Dynamo be hard to play against. You know, they played good games and not won, drawn. They played bad games and drawn. So they've managed to at least get a point on the road, which is more than we can say for previous season.
Yeah, but tomorrow's a tall task.
Tomorrow is a super extremely tall task. It's the best team in the league. They have been one of the best teams for the past 5 years in MLS. So it's definitely going to be a tough, tall ask, like you said, Victor.
No, and the guys they have out, those are the guys that are usually the bench, right? I mean, Darwin Quintero, he's playing because Ariel Lassiter is out on international duty. I don't know if it's exactly because Tal Ramos wants to play him, right? And I think the good thing is there'll be opportunity for younger players. We'll see if we finally see a guy like Danny Rios or, you know, Nico Lemoine makes his way back to the lineup. Some people like that.
Lemoyne's injured. I'm not sure you're going to see a Danny Rios in Seattle. I would say that right now.
I would love to see a Danny Rios because, you know.
Well, I mean, who else do they have is my point. Yes.
My point is, in the past 2 weeks, we've seen 17-year-olds score some
golazos. It's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. But so a couple things here. For me, this is the best opportunity to ever win in Seattle for the Houston Dynamo. The best opportunity to win. And the reasons being, first of all, what they've done is pretty remarkable. 7-0-4, I think they haven't lost a game. They've done this without Ladero. They've done this without Jordan Morris. This is pretty remarkable. They're the gold standard in Major League Soccer. But if you were ever going to go into Seattle thinking that it might be your night and it might be your first road win, it's good because, Jesus, you brought up the fact that Christian Roldan is not going to be there. Now, what he has done in the absence of Ladero is Roldan moved from being more of an eight and a two-way guy to adding more to the attack but kind of leaning to the right side of the field. That's a big loss for them, okay? So I'm thinking of Kellen Rowe is going to come in. Somebody like that probably comes in. Who knows? You know, you got Montero who can play. Who knows what Seattle's going to do? They have the same challenges in a way as the Dynamo, but they're the gold standard. They're the only undefeated team in the league. What they have done is impressive. They also don't have Stephen Fry. Cleveland's a goalkeeper now. Fry's one of the best goalkeepers in the league. But this is opportunity for the Dynamo. I want to see Memo Rodriguez. I want to see Corona start to step up. There's not enough key passes coming from these guys. Maxi Arruti, I think, has to be frustrated as a striker with all the running he does, all the runs he makes. He's got to be frustrated that he doesn't get more chances. And let's be honest, this guy has been incredibly efficient.
Yeah. And the good thing is he scored in all the road games these past couple
of weeks. He scores out of the middle of nowhere to earn you a point on the road. Absolutely. But, you know, if we think all of a sudden magically the possession's going to improve, you know, I hope it does. I don't think it's going to. So I think their chances are going to have to be generated off the press and off a moment or two. But Joe Corona, to me, has flatlined a little bit. Memo has not played well, I don't think, in 6 or 7 games.
Not for his expectations. I don't think
expectations. I think it's 6 or 7 games. You got to get more out of these guys. I think Tab Ramos is squeezing result-wise and energy-wise about as much as you can out of this group, and this midfield picks itself, quite frankly. Right? So that's why Seren's coming back, which is bizarre in itself from Europe.
It is. You know, it's tough. You know, and to to back up on your point, Todd Ramos is cooking with the ingredients that he has, and the meal is just okay. You know, nothing like what you would get here at Hugh O'Connor's, you know. So, you know, I do think that Seattle, while you say they're missing Christian Roldan, their other players are still at a higher level than the Dynamo players.
I don't think Nuhu's playing, who's been their best defender and maybe their best player all year, quite frankly. I don't think he's playing. So, like I said, I think there's opportunity to do something special. Victor?
It's going to be tough. Three games on the road during the Gold Cup. This may be that dip that we usually see from Dynamo during the summer. If they're able to get out of this with at least a couple points like they've been doing these last couple road games, yeah, that'd be really, really good.
You know, this is the point of the season where the Dynamo take a dip, right? Typically around the summertime.
It's true.
These next six or seven games, I think, are make or break for this team. You know, three of them are on the road. Not easy games against good opponents.
You don't come back home until the end of the month. Then you got to go up to Austin. It'll get interesting for sure.
Rowdy Austin, where they're starting to kind of, you can see them, maybe they're starting to gel in Austin. So it's definitely a make or break next couple of games for the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, no question about it. By the way, I've been up to Austin FC. I don't know if you two guys have. It's off the charts.
I'm going to be driving up there tomorrow.
Like being in Europe.
I got the night off, so I'll check that out.
It's like being in Europe. It really is off the charts, and we can have that here too, and I hope we're moving towards that. I think we are.
There's a lot of banter already with the fans.
Really?
Yeah. We got some Austin fans don't believe the quote-unquote 21,000. It got interesting on Twitter Saturday.
You know, it's interesting.
I don't think 21,000 were in the building. I think that's how many tickets were out. I don't think. There was no way there was 21,000 people at the game. No chance. I think it was. I'm going to go around 15.
It was, to me, that was probably.
But listen, it was a great crowd. It was great energy.
That was probably the best part of the game was the crowd, if we're being honest, because they had it all night long, and it was just fun to see the crowd there.
Let me tell you, we all felt it. It was a spectacular crowd at BBVA. It's time to get out there. I'd say keep doing the 713, $7 tickets, $1
dogs,
$3 beers. Do it. I also liked, believe it or not, I liked when they did the thing with the lights after the goal. That was pretty cool. What did you guys think of that?
At first, I thought the lights had gone off. I thought, man, somebody did not pay their power bill, knowing that it was the Houston Dynamo. You know, it's maybe
that
likely.
Only happens in the winter down here.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, that's part of what they're trying to do, right? Raise the experience. But I think what really kind of got it going was the two early goals. It would have been nice to get that win, I think. And hopefully it doesn't become a habit where they keep giving up points at home.
Look, you know, Tyler Patrick told us after the game, we're right there. You know, we're just missing a couple. We're right there.
Well,
they've been
whole freaking season.
Exactly. They have. And it goes back to your point. They're missing that one player that can connect the midfield to the forwards. And going back to your point, Glenn, Maxi has to be irritated. I mean, he's made goals out of nothing. Just imagine once he gets service.
Yeah, his best year was 12 goals for FC Dallas. But I think the question of a playmaker that you spend real money on, and you got to get it right. And it can't be somebody that you hope is going to learn MLS. And, you know, I think this fan base is ready for a legit guy. You spend $3-4, whatever it is, million on him, maybe even a little more. And it's a guy that comes in that is not one we're questioning and that we're not trying. You know, Darwin Quintero, as great as he is, you know, we turned him into a DP. It's like refurbishing a car. He's at the end of his career. For me, it's a tough signing to expect X amount out of him.
Right.
I think it's tough for us to expect Joe Corona to play as a 10 for the Houston Dynamo. We're asking people.
At his age, on top of that, he's what, 31?
Yeah, and he's a possession player,
yes,
though. I mean, it's tough to ask guys to do things that you're not expecting them to do. I'm not sure Memo's not a very talented player, no question. He's not a tempo center. He's not a guy you play through a lot that's involving everybody. He's a guy that gets a ball around a box, tries to create a shot for himself, or works a 1-2.
And he needs competition. He needs something because he missed a great opportunity to make the Gold Cup for the United States this year.
And I'm glad you bring that up because I thought
when he erased his game. I mean, I feel like for him, something like that, this would have been the year to.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, putting 60 guys on a preliminary Gold Cup roster, and I'm not raining on anybody's parade. that that's more of a move to engage MLS players by Greg Berhalter.
It and clearly the national didn't engage Memo then.
To simply say, hey, we're keeping an eye on you, right? Yeah. Well, but when I saw it was 60 players, I'm like, okay, you know.
I think I also saw my name under too. So, yeah, it definitely is a whole bunch of people that, you know, U.S. is trying to recruit. But, no, you know, going to your point, Memo should have seen his name and be like, you know what, I need to step up my game in these new next two, three games so I can be chosen. And he didn't. He dipped lower. And I also feel like Tab Ramos is maybe putting too much on Memo. He's trying to make Memo into a
player. But he has no depth. The problem is he doesn't have enough depth in midfield, and it's very tough. The midfield basically picks itself every game. And to Victor's point, you know, your whole bench is going to be away due to the Gold Cup, and including, you know, Tyler Pasher, who's really been one of your big offseason
signings. They didn't expect to go to Canada. So, I don't know. I think
and even Tab Ramos said that. He did not expect that this would happen that fast for him, and Canada would have selected him at this moment. So
we'll see how good.
If you're Canada, how do you not call up Ty Pasher?
Yeah, we'll see how good Hadebe is, right? I mean, the new center back. See if he's
looking good,
worth the DP money. I mean, because I think that you're spending DP money on a defender. But I do think they still need help. And you know what? Let's see the support the new owner gives in this transfer window.
You know, Ted Siegel came out, and we're going to have to hit a break. But he did come out, and he did say, hey, we're going to invest in the product competitively. We're going to invest in it from a business standpoint as well. All right, we got to take a break. Victor Ariza with the Striker. Victor, thank you very much for coming on tonight. Jesus Acevedo with the Bayou Citian.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you guys coming on. Some great conversation with you guys. Let's do it again real soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's some of our good Dynamo writers and journalists in Houston that are covering the game for us. We thank Victor and Jesus for coming in. We'll take a break here. We'll come back at Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. We're going to give away a few prizes and a couple more things here during the break. Break time brought to you by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant, here's Glenn Davis.
From a poor penalty. Strikes the ball. This for the final. Cheeky, impudent, decisive, Forza Italia. Italy are in the Euro 2020 final.
Well, there you have it. Italy has advanced to the European Championship final on Sunday. They take on the winner of Denmark and England tomorrow. As I mentioned, this show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to them. And a big thank you to Advantage BMW Midtown. Advantage BMW Midtown, they'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done easy. Get a 3, 5, 7 series, X5, X3. I go down there today in a New York minute, 10 minutes, I'm in and out. They got me in a rental car, a loaner car, and my vehicle will be fixed. I'll drive it back tomorrow morning. I'll have my car back. Those are the kind of advantages you get at Advantage BMW Midtown. They're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So go down there, ask for Justin, and ask for Steven. So a big thank you to our sponsors, as always. And also to Cactus Music. I forgot to mention that. We do a thing called Burning Topics. They'll come out, and also some game keys will come out tomorrow ahead of the Dynamo at Seattle. That game will be on Channel 55 tomorrow night. Eddie Robinson and I will have the call of that game. And like I said, if there was ever a time you might knock off Seattle in an unexpected way, it may be tomorrow night. So let's see what happens. Now, speaking of the Houston Dynamo, Newell's old boys in Argentina. He played for Tata Martino. Maxi Arruti has been one of the most, if not the most efficient striker in Major League Soccer. He has 6 goals. I caught up with Maxi Arruti.
Well, Maxi, obviously it's been a fantastic season for you so far. 6 goals in the season so far. Just talk about your role on the Dynamo and how it's kind of reinvigorated your career after Montreal.
Yes, yes, I am very happy. You know, when come here to this club, I know that the score is the more important for the forward. But when I see the group, the staff, I talk with us to understand my sacrifice. You know, I play 100% every game. I don't know, sometimes I take a score or not, but I play 100% because I run a lot, I press. I love this team when we play, you know, press high away at home. But for me, the more important thing is when we play away, we need have more opportunity to take a score.
Talking to Maxi Rudy of the Houston Dynamo, having an outstanding season. You know, the way you play the game, it's almost as though you never let your brain rest because, you know, you're in constant motion, the ball turns over, you're pressing right away. Did that take training in your career to get that mentality? Because the way you play the game is not only a big physical effort, but it's a big mental effort as well.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when I played with Tata Martino in Newell's Old Boys in Argentina, Tata always say the forward is the first defender for the team. When I go to press, I need to go to 100%, you know, because the team play in the half of the field. And in this moment, we have a lot of chances to recover the ball and keep position.
Maxi, let's talk a little bit about the draws, because these are games you guys feel you could have had 3 points, even the games at home. I mean, you had a fantastic chance right at the end of the first half after beating a few people off the dribble. Is it frustrating not taking the full points in these games? And do you see them as missed opportunities?
Yes, yes, I know. The game is crazy because we play well. We have the score in the third minute, the first half, and after, I don't know what happened. We need to have more concentration. We need a clean sheet, you know. For me, versus Portland at home, and now we're versus Cincinnati, we need this 6 points because when we go to away, we play well. We have good point in LA and after in Salt Lake. For me, the more important thing is when we play at home, we need a 3 points.
Talking to Maxi Rudy, Houston Dynamo. All right, you've been a part of this rivalry with Seattle when you were with Portland and all your great years in Portland. Does that add a little bit to playing against Seattle on Wednesday night for you?
Yes, it's very, very special because when I play in Portland, the derby is crazy, you know, the Cascadian. But now I play for Houston, and when I go to Seattle, I feel the same. I like win. We need a 3 points. We have a good team. We need the confidence. When we have the ball, we need a more tactic and the press. For me, it's very important. When we need to go together. This is the more important thing.
So the team is building, and Tab has consistently talked about we've got to become in the future a better possession team to give ourselves a chance and all the things that possession brings. Do you feel like you could get more service from your midfield and from your outside backs, you yourself as a center forward?
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes we play good, but we have a lot of space. For me, we need to play more compact, the defender and the forward. We need to have responsibility to take a ball and play, you know. This is the question. Away at home is the same because we have the same team. And the idea for Tab is the always the same. We go to press and after we keep the ball. We need to understand this message.
And Maxi, I mean, I find it remarkable your efficiency when it comes to goal scoring. The six that you have, you know, it's not as though you're getting a lot of chances. So to me, it's pretty remarkable your efficiency and scoring goals the way you are and the times of games you're scoring.
Yeah, yeah, yes. the situation is easy when you take a score, you know. You stay happy always, but when you don't take a score, you need stay the same. We play for the team. Today, I talk with Matias and say, I don't know, Messi, you know, 91 score in 1 year. It's crazy. I don't understand. This guy is amazing. 91 is too much. I understand that this guy play in Argentina and Barcelona, but when he takes a free kick penalty always, he have a lot of chance to take score. And we need in this team a lot of players for this confidence. We need more attack, and the midfielders, we need more, you know, more press to take a score, and we win the games, because the MLS is very difficult to play off.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just thinking the more chances you can get and the more service you can get, I think you could probably break that 12 goals you had in FC Dallas as your best year. Why not, right?
Yeah, for sure. We need more create, you know. I remember versus LA, I don't have a lot of chances, but I take a one score. In Portland at home, I have more chances, but the score is for the other guys. You know, the moment in this situation is very, very quick. We need together. For me, the score for the number 9, for the number 10, for the number 2 is the same. We need to play with more confidence to away at home.
Does it ever get frustrating for you as a striker, you know, when you get a game that you don't get the service you really want and you're still making these runs and the ball never comes? Does it get frustrating for you?
Yeah, for sure. The training too. When I go to training and don't take a score and don't play with the ball too much, I feel bad, you know. When I come to my house, I feel bad. I need a sleep. And I say, okay, tomorrow is another day, but in the game it's the same.
It's that hunger and desire, though, that sets you apart. All right, if you look at Seattle, and, you know, they got the 3 center backs, they got some pretty big guys back there. How do you beat them? What does Maxi Arruti do on Wednesday night against Seattle?
For me, it's heavy. the three center backs, too big. But we need to take a ball, you know. We play with a central back star, but I have more like Cincinnati, the score, you know. I come to receive the ball in midfielder and I play forward to Sam and take cross. This is the best chance in Seattle. I know Seattle is, for me, is the best team at away. We need keep the ball in this field. I know turf is difficult for us, but we have a lot of chances to take 3 points.
And Maxi, how about a quick word on Argentina in the Copa America, scoring great goals, playing like Argentina can and should? And do you expect them to win the Copa America? Any observations?
Yeah, we need for Messi, you know.
Yeah.
I know this guy is amazing. And always when he play, I watch the game. And I say for Messi, because he have in Argentina a lot of games, but don't win nothing. But for me, this Copa America is for Argentina, you know. I don't know the final is versus, I don't know, but it's Brazil, it's Brazil, it's Peru, but we have a lot of chances to take a trophy.
Last one before I let you go, and I can't answer this question. I can only have a judgment because I'm not Argentine. Do you think some Argentines don't want Messi to succeed so that Maradona can remain, you know, the greatest of all time? Is there some kind of antagonism going on there between Messi and Maradona in the minds of Argentines?
Yes. Yes. For me, Messi is the best because I watch Messi in the games. But for my father, it's Maradona, you know. This is the question. For me, they both players the best in the world? This is the question. Maradona, he played, you know, the same, Messi. Amazing. For me, the two best players in the world.
Maxi, thank you so much. Best of luck against Seattle. Thanks for joining us. And also, congratulations so far on a great season. Keep it up. We're enjoying it.
Thank you very much.
Maxi Arruti and that interview there ahead of the Seattle game. You heard him commenting on Lionel Messi and Argentina and Diego Maradona at the end of that interview. Fascinating stuff from a guy who played for Tata Martino at Newell's Old Boys. So a big thanks to Maxi Arruti. You can catch him tomorrow night. He is a pro's pro, I can tell you that. The guy's habits, professionalism, something good. It was a good signing by the Houston Dynamo. And hopefully they're going to continue to add to the Tab Ramos roster. But keep an eye on it tomorrow night, Dynamo Seattle. That's going to do it tonight here from Hugh O'Connor's. Big thanks to Tyler Scott out here engineering. Big thank you to everybody that came out here tonight. Claire, Alex, thank you very much for being here as well. And a big thank you to Hugh O'Connor's, by the way. This is your soccer pub in Houston. To the Goose, Dave, everybody working tonight. Don't forget to tip your bartenders and your barkeeps, and we thank everybody for hosting us. This was four straight shows out here. It's been a tremendous amount of fun. Sunday, it is the final here. Tomorrow, you can catch Denmark and England here. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. Every night of the week, they've got specials, so get out here. It's a great spot. It's in the Marquee Entertainment Center, and it's not one of those pubs. You know, this place is clean. You could eat off the floor in here. This is my kind of pub, you know. There's no cobwebs, you know. It's my kind of pub. All right, so that'll do it tonight from Hugh O'Connor's. I'm Glenn Davis. Big thanks to Trey back in studio. All our guests that came on tonight, Victor, Jesus, Maxi Arruti, and Daryl Dike as well, Jan Christensen, and Ruben Dominguez. That'll do it tonight from Hugh O'Connor's. Good night, everyone.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best
play. Hey, Glenn Davis.
SportsMapBets.com.